RCR with Paul Brennan. Reality Check Radio.
So, to the threats to private property ownership in New South Wales, Australia, and the proposed social media ban in Australia, is it a gateway to digital ID? Coming back on the program is Kate Mason, who has an extensive background in welfare and community development. She spent the last 3 years researching global narratives that are leading us toward a dystopian world of surveillance. She writes at Substack, Deconstructing 41R Narratives, and she joins us from across the Tasman. Kate, good to have you back.
Hi, Paul. Nice to see you again.
Okay, so, boy, the news never gets better, Kate, is my impression from our chats.
It's always a good news story in Australia.
Okay, let's start with this threat to private property ownership. What's all that about?
Okay, so I've been documenting and researching a number of things going on in Australia. So it's not just one thing. So it's this compounding scenarios that are going to all come together fairly much around the same time. So I'll just go through, you know, just quickly. We've got widespread managed retreat, which is policy coming out next year in New South Wales, which is the removal of property rights and infrastructure based on climate change modelling.
Mm-hmm.
We've got
a very similar is happening here, by the way, Kate. Very similar happening here. Okay,
absolutely.
Almost carbon copy. Yep.
Yep. Capity was what alerted me to this, but it's been rolled out a lot this year in Australia. And then we've got the local government, New South Wales, putting out. They're saying councils are broke, which would be the same in New Zealand. Councils are broke.
Yep, same. Yep.
You know, we need to stop capping rates, which means we need to stop having. You know, we need to be able to. You know, make rates go up. And then we have Australia's at the end of its sort of infrastructure cliff. So we're talking about the infrastructure's at the end of its life, basically normal infrastructure. So sewerage and roads, et cetera. Councils are broke. This is the sort of thing they're talking about. And then we've got all the new disaster infrastructure that's going to be put into towns. And then on the other flip side of that, we've got BlackRock buying up global infrastructure partners, and Larry Fink basically saying governments are broke. So infrastructure is going to be privatised. So we've got all of that. But that's all going to be a huge amount more cost to people in their homes. We've got insurances going up. We're going to have climate overlays over people's towns and areas and homes, which is going to make insurance go up even more. And that now what I've just found last week was Australian government's going to bring in energy ratings for every home in Australia, existing homes. So currently, if you want to do a new build, you have to have a 7-star rating to do a new build, energy rating. They're going to put this over existing homes now. So the consultation closed at the end of August, the consultation that nobody was aware of closed end of August, and we're looking at a situation where homes need to get up to a 5-star energy rating, existing homes. And the documents state very clearly that the vast majority of existing homes in Australia are about a 1.8 under 2-star rating currently. And we're talking about, when we talk about what's going to need to be done for homes and to get up to 5-star out of 10, it's looking at thermal upgrades. So I don't know exactly how much of this you'll have to do to get to 5-star. I'm not saying you have to do all of it, but this is the starting point. So thermal upgrades plus electrification of homes. And this includes ceiling insulation, floor insulation, wall insulation, the colour of your home, any sort of ceiling, you know, you've got to seal or any gaps in the home, curtains and pelmets, external roller shutters, reverse cycling, heating, cooling, heat pump, hot water, induction. So everything's got to be electrified. And
right, no more gas. No more gas.
It's electrified. Then they're looking at solar on your roof and a battery, et cetera, and double glazing of windows. And some of the documents talk about triple glazing of windows. So there's more and more things in there that we're going to have to do. So what they're talking about currently, and again, this is all just sort of, I'm just catching it and it's all just unfolding. So this will kick in, your energy rating of your home will kick in when you go to sell it and when you rent it. So there'll be a minimum energy rating for rentals. And when you go to sell your house, people, that will inform people as to, you know, that will inform the price of your house, how much your house
sells. So it could lower your property value
Definitely lower your property value. And then they've also talked in the documents, government documents. So again, I've got a Substack article. I actually pull out all the documents and you can see them and give you links to the government plan. So I'm not making this up. So when you go to sell and your price, you know, falls because it's not up to the, you know, five star, they're also incentivizing banks.
Oh yeah, how do they do that? Oh yeah, okay.
Because banks have to get to, so this is all net. This is all about net zero. So the it's because this is what they say in the documents. The residential houses contribute 10% of the greenhouse gases. So they have to be taken down pretty much. I think we're going to look at 2050 where your house is zero, you know, zero carbon, however they bring in those metrics. And so when they've got to incentivize banks and insurance companies, because banks and insurance companies also need to get down to net zero. So anything that's on their books has to get down to net zero.
Boy, it's an attack from all sides.
It's an attack. It's called incentivizing. Okay. It's like you're incentivizing this. And so what that means is banks are going to are very hesitant to lend money and take a mortgage out on to give somebody a mortgage for a low energy house. And if you do manage to get yourself into a house or your own house, you're going to have a higher insurance rate for sure. They're going to incentivize you by making you pay a lot more until you do your upgrades.
This sounds like class warfare.
It's huge. It's huge, and they talk
because
about,
the people with the less resources are going to pay the most.
I know, it's horrendous, and it's only for 5 years. I've looked at in some of the government documents. It says the energy rating will stay relevant for potentially 5 years. Some I've read 3 years. Because new technology will, you know, this wonderful new technology will be coming out. So you have to keep upgrading your home. So it's not a one-off. It'll go from five, like even the new builds have gone from 6 to 7 stars. You know, they just go up. So basically what can be okay for the next few years is not going to be okay in a few years' time. And then you're going to have to do costly upgrades. Now, the government documents refer to a body called Climate Works, and they've got a couple of papers that I've read, and one is net zero homes. And basically to get to a net zero home, which is where they're going to take us, it's all about the direction of your home, so where your house is built. So you need to have north-facing, you know, windows in your main living areas, and it's very much like what the building is made of and constructed of is going to be really relevant. So this is going to lead to knockdowns, basically, because you can't change the direction of your most homes. Yeah, so this is what's happening now. And it is, it's class warfare. And they'll probably sweeten the deal a little bit by giving some sort of grants to really, you know, people on income support, and they can get grants. And then they've got green loans teed up.
Oh,
and there's
green loans.
Banks.
Oh,
yeah, right. So they've got two that are happening at the moment. One has got like the maximum you can borrow is $50,000, and it's around 3.5% return. And I think it's between 10 to 15 years you've got to return the money. And the other one is one of the main banks, from memory, it might be ANZ, and that's a 4.4% loan. It's down like 0.3% of a, you know, 0.3% from the normal rate. So this is it. So they'll sort of sweeten the deal not that that's a sweet deal, but there will be probably some help for really, really low income people. So this doesn't look as nasty as it is on the surface.
Boy, it sounds like the inmates are in charge of the asylum well and truly now, to boil it down to what I'm thinking. How can any of this fly with the public?
Well, I think there's a lot of people caught up in and because this is also talks about disaster resilience as well. So the homes over time will have to become more.
Yeah, but what disasters? What disasters?
Oh,
media strike?
There's everything. Everything's coming. Everything's modelled. It's the worst case scenarios.
Yeah, we've heard that before.
Everything's on its way. So, everyone's getting now things in their letterboxes, prepare for disaster. the Red Cross is putting them into everyone's letterbox. That wasn't, you know, that's a government policy. That's a government approach, because you've got to start normalizing that we have to start preparing for disasters all the time. And yes, so the houses are going to have to be resilient. This is not this first iteration. It's very, very clear. If you look at what's going to happen, this is going to incrementally become harder and harder and harder. Basically, you're probably going to need to get up to what they call a 10-star house if you just want to sort of bypass the years of torment. You know, get up to a 10-star house, which is pretty much most houses would have to be knocked down and built again in a particular way.
That's incredible. It really is. I mean, that's so much incoming on all fronts.
And, it's happening in Scotland. They give the year 2033 as when it will be mandatory for all houses. So, in the documents in Australia, it just talks about a point when you want to rent it or use or point of sale, or if you want to do a big renovation, that will all come into play. In Scotland, it's already up to in 2033 from one document I looked at, it will be mandatory for all houses, regardless of if you're going to rent it or sell it. And so this is already in Scotland. It's in the UK. It's in, I think it might, someone said it was in New York City. It's in the European Union. It's a global agenda again. It'll come for New Zealand.
Yeah. So what do you think the ultimate goal is, to drive people out of their own houses and into what?
Well, at the same time, our lovely government is giving kickbacks. There's some legislation sitting in there to be passed to allow much more kickbacks for build to rents. So they already are. They're giving like a land tax.
So own nothing. I've heard that somewhere before.
Yes, and I do see that because, what's going to happen? So in another year or two, even before the government starts to enforce it all, and people are going to become aware. They're going to become aware that to live in their area is going to be much more costly because of all the council rates and the disaster infrastructure. Managed retreat will be put on the agenda in such a way that, you know, it's not like necessarily that this area is going to go into managed retreat, but it will get into people's consciousness that, you know, we'll try different things, but managed retreat may happen. It might be the end of the line for your area. And then you've got people will be, you know, hit with this. We've got to upgrade our house. And if we don't get out of here soon, our house isn't going to be worth very much when we go to sell it. So you've got a number of compounding, like regardless of when the government implements it, there's enough there that's going to make people very, very concerned about staying in a particular area.
And it's all based on modelling, is it?
It's all based on modelling, and it's the highest, in Australia, they're using the highest risk, in the highest IPCC 8.5 pathway. And they're compounding disasters, potential disasters. So you look at a certain climate model for fire, like, you know, so dryness and not enough rain, and you get a ranking for that. Then you look at another model for the forecast for the most flooding that can happen, and you get a ranking for that. And a number of different models are used, and you compound it and you come up with this extraordinarily disturbing number. And that's what's being done. And it's the 8.5 pathway, which, you know, it wasn't meant to be used for this modeling.
They even said that, the IPCC.
They did.
And that's been used here too.
Climate change is a wicked problem, you know. It's a wicked problem because it's got no end in sight. No matter what we do, nothing may work. And, you know, so it's, they've just, I keep saying this is open slather. And what I'm trying to push through to people who are really in the climate change agenda is, have a look at where the assets are going to go.
Yeah.
Have a look at what's being said about who's going to own the assets. It's big corp. You know, that used to be an issue for the left, didn't it? Doesn't seem to be an issue anymore for the left. And that's driving me slightly nutso that
When you look at how money is created and the fractional banking system we have, where, you know, you can hold 10 if you're a bank and lend 100, there is no money there. So if people can't pay or there's some kind of crisis, financial crisis coming, the idea is to turn that money that doesn't exist into a hard asset, right? And this is what kind of sounds like it is happening here. So I can't afford to stay in my house anymore. I'm going to sell it. Who's going to buy it? Well, it might be BlackRock in the end.
It will be, yeah.
And they turn money that never existed in reality into the hard asset. And wealth transfer. I mean, it's so obvious, isn't it?
It's so obvious. It's a complete wealth transfer. And it's just, you know, so the big corporations that don't need mortgages, don't need to get a mortgage, will come in and sweep up your property at a bargain price.
Yeah, that's right. And then they'll own something that's hard fixed asset. And then that gives an element of control because people have got to live somewhere, right? Oh, dear. It's very sinister, isn't it?
It's very sinister. And the government, Australian government, is doing a complete, to put it mildly, a disservice to the Australian people and to, you're very right, to the people who, the retirees, you know, the people who've got everything wrapped up in their homes. You know, they've got their one home.
And that, it's a home is more than a home. It's where you exist. It's your peaceful place. It's a castle. It's all these things.
I know. It's, and you just want to, you know, I can imagine, you know, you just want to live there and know you can live there and live your life and raise your children and, or, you know, live there to the end of your life. And that's, they are completely threatening it. I've talked to people in England as well where this is, and I've spoken to one woman who has a beautiful old stone home in England, and that's got a really bad energy rating. You know, old, like 150-year-old house with stone walls is a bad energy rating. She said that they're giving them stuff to, you know, the stuff that's being added on to give you good energy ratings, just plasticky, you know, really bad. Yeah, crap.
Yeah, cheap
Absolute
crap.
Absolute crap. Yeah.
Yeah. Because that's what these people are, actually.
Well, you know, I mean, it's like you can look at it like it's an endless market for new products, and it's also smart appliances. So it's not just, so you will also need to have smart appliances to get
okay, so Internet of Things. So they're all connected.
Yep, you need to have that and LED lighting. So, yes, they will push the smart.
I hate LED lighting.
Yeah.
Oh, jeez. Okay, so this is New South Wales at the moment or Australia-wide?
That's Australia-wide. Like some of the things I talked to you about with managed retreat and everything's more specific to New South Wales and the government plans, but the actual ratings over homes is Australia-wide.
Is there any way of winding it back, do you think, or is this like this train has left the station?
I'm just trying to make people aware.
When you tell them, and I'm having a kind of reaction here, but I already knew it, what do they say? What sort of response do you get? Do their eyes glaze over or do they fall over with shock?
Look, it depends who I talk to. People who are already concerned about what's government overreach and, you know, corporate entities controlling the game kind of get it pretty much straight away. And they're very despondent, actually. It sort of puts this, and I don't like that. It puts this sort of real distress into people. And I don't like being that person, but I don't like it, but it's what's in the government plans. It's not
people got to know what's happening, even if it's
people
bad
have got to know what's happening. It's better to be aware. And then people who are fully in the, you know, climate change thing, they just don't think the government would do anything to it. It just depends, doesn't it? Like if people
lambs to the slaughter, Kate.
Yeah, they just believe. You know, they probably believe that we have to do it because of climate change modelling.
Yeah. All right, don't want to burn up all the time on that. That's a shocker, but no surprise to many of our listeners because it's happening here. Almost carbon copy, as I said. Now, let's get on to the other issue, the proposed social media ban in Australia. We're talking under 16s, aren't we?
Yeah.
At the moment? At the moment.
Yeah. We are talking under 16s. Just bringing it up because I haven't thought about this for a couple of days. I wrote about this last week. So, yes, a social media ban for children to be introduced this year, but the age limit is undetermined. Currently, Albanese thinks 16's too young and you need to have a higher layer level of, so maybe 17, 18, I don't know.
Yep.
And they both want it. Labor and Liberals want this social media ban. And so I just had a look at what was in it because nothing can be taken at face value. So I just had a quick look through what is this about. So it kind of piggybacked off a report that came out last year, and it was Roadmap for Age Verification and Complementary Measures to Prevent and Mitigate Harms to Children from Online Pornography. So that was in March 2023. And in that article, in that paper, it becomes very clear that it's about a biometric digital ID that children need to have to access. Well, this is about pornography sites. So there's a a part where people wouldn't be too concerned about if it's a pornography site, that there's got to be some.
No, that sounds, that's reasonable. That's reasonable.
Yeah, that's potentially reasonable. So that's kind of where it kicked off last year. But so they talk about biometric technologies such as those which conduct facial age estimation.
Oh, okay.
And so biometric scanning and surveillance, and but it's also got an AI. So to be able to assess how old is this person, you actually need AI assessing everything you're, that child is looking at the internet to be able to understand the age of that child. So it's AI trawling through your internet searches.
So everything.
Yeah. That, well, they would have to.
The totality of searches.
Yeah. They would have to, basically, because they're trying to assess how old is this child. So you'd then be looking at everything the child's searching at to be able to get a sense of the age of the child. So that's what they were talking about back then. Now we get into, and they talk about a decentralized ID. So it's always sold. They always, oh no, it's in the next bit. So they always talk about this decentralized, because, you know, there's privacy concerns about, you know, your data and data sharing and everything else. So they're selling this under it's decentralized. So it means all your digital ID and all your information isn't available in one spot. So you can just pull out different parts of what you want to show. You know, you want to show a company or a corporation or the internet or anything. So you don't have to show them everything. You don't have to show your at-home address, for example, or your medical status, for example. Yeah. You can just pull out your age and, you know, a couple of components. So this is the way it's being sold over and over again, this decentralized digital ID. However, it doesn't at all, of course, it ignores the fact that what will you be asked to show? And that you have to show certain things to be where you didn't previously have to do that to prove who you are. So that's basically that. And then they're brought out. So they call it things like tokenized, interoperable, you know, these other words. They use all these other words because they know people are concerned about digital ID and don't know what that
interoperable means that it talks to everything.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay.
And tokenized means that you can break down, I guess, if you're talking about ID into different forms of ID.
Yep.
And they are the tokens, right? So you might have a passport, you might have a driver's license probably if you're too young. You might have some sort of medical certificate or vaccination schedule, things like that. Those are the tokens, are they?
Yeah, and you've got to show whatever is you have to show to access that service.
Yeah, and it might be multiple.
It will be multiple, and it will get more and more that you have to show, you know, things that you may not agree with, like vaccination status or social credit score, you know, a social credit score for what you look at. I mean, can I before I go into what the government's now doing, I mean, there's a document it's called Capital and Debt, and it's by Canada Beyond 150, which is Policy Horizons, an arm of the Canadian government. And they make it very clear in there that with this social credit may become a more powerful determinant of socioeconomic inclusion. Rating a user's credibility, trust, social credit, as is currently done by Uber, eBay, and many others, is becoming more common. So it's basically saying ownership could be displaced or augmented by access to services. So we don't own anything anymore. It's just about whether or not we can access the service. And social credit may become a more powerful determinant of socioeconomic inclusion.
Maybe it will. Yeah, okay. So you own nothing, and then to access anything, you many people have no choice but to behave in a certain way.
Yeah, and then that links in with the misinformation, disinformation legislation that's about to be passed in Australia, where you can't do any reputational harm to the banking system or financial system. Financial system, which is like, well, this is all about the financial, you know, everything's about the financial system and how things are being, well, the last bit I was talking about, you know, with this incentivizing through the banks that you get your, you know, upgrades to your house, that's a financial system. So I don't know what that's going to look like for someone like me because I'm constantly really banging on about these social impact markets and
Your score would be through the floor. Your score would be through the floor along with mine.
Yeah. And so just back to the digital ID. So then the government's just opened up a tender for this tech to be able to, for tech companies to put in a submission to be considered for this technology for children to be able to, you know, not access social media. And in that tender, we find voice, there's face and voice biometrics, and again, tracking what the child is accessing on the internet. That is under the wording of digital usage patterns. So everything's hidden. It's hidden, but once you get to know the language, you can see it. So they want age assurance refers to various methods which are used to determine a person's age. And so it's age estimation technologies and age verification. And they're talking about biometric information, facial age estimation and voice analysis, and using behavioural or online signals, e.g. digital usage patterns. So there you go. You've got the government trawling through everything. And then they talk about tokenized attribute exchange models, which is a digital ID, but they don't call it a digital ID. So that's in there as well. And finally, they say these methods may also be suitable for over 18 use cases, which could be stepped up by the successful tenderer. So there we go. Oh, we've got in May, the digital ID bill was passed in Australia. And so it's an act. It says digital ID will be voluntary.
Yeah.
So what are we up to? Up to September?
Yes. Oh, man. Crikey. What's a parent to do? And older than that, as it goes forward, you'd have to take them off completely, wouldn't you? That's the only right thing to do for a parent in this environment. Yeah.
You'd have to, but I mean, look at how much you've got to use it for school now.
Well, you'd have to homeschool them.
And then they're going to bring in that they are looking at homeschooling in Australia as well. And they've set up a task force in Queensland. And I looked at the woman who's heading up the Queensland task force, and she's completely into the global education agenda.
Yeah, they're everywhere. The tentacles are everywhere, aren't they?
And the global education agenda is that it comes down from UNICEF, and it's basically it's five things all children in the whole world are taught. Number one's climate change. It's like activism and social justice. So they're going to be, you know, just taught very superficial things, basically, to have to regurgitate. So
and to be good participants in this model,
to make sure that you have the inner development goals for the sustainable development goals. So you have to be pro-social and, you know, do social emotional learning, and that's a whole nother conversation. But it's very concerning because it's synthetic. It's a synthetic arena.
That's the thing. Yeah, all round. In fact, it's so anti-human, you wouldn't believe it.
Yeah, and it's got nothing to do with real integrity and real social justice. It's everything's playing into corporatizing and you know, massive wealth transfers. And yeah, it's and the amount of activists calling for this systems to be put in place. It's astounding.
Oh, man. Okay. Boy, that's next level all round. I seem to be saying that a lot these days. But it sounds like the walls are closing in, Kate. But, I mean, I'm not going to be smug. It's going to happen here too, isn't it?
It's global. It will definitely happen in New Zealand. It's happening, you know, everything you look is being rolled out. So maybe no one's looked yet. I didn't look till a week ago because somebody gave me a heads up about it. People in the construction industry, or some of them, have been aware about this for a while and very distressed about it because of what it's going to mean for private home ownership. But I didn't know it was happening. And again, same thing. I didn't know managed retreat was on the agenda until I listened to the Women in Capity talk.
Yeah.
And then suddenly I realised it's everywhere through the government plans, but no one was talking about it in Australia. So there's a lot of information out there, and it's kept very hidden, isn't it, until you look for it and then it's everywhere. It's very
bizarre.
Well,
you know why it's hidden. You know why it's hidden.
Yeah.
Because
they have to normalize. They have to start and it's starting to normalize with the energy rating.
Predictive programming, isn't it? It's getting people in incremental bursts ready for the grinder.
Yep.
Man. All right. Well, it's and the big thing is, whatever happened to freedom?
There's none. There's none on this agenda. There's none in this arena.
Yeah.
No, and the you know, the other component to all of this is the, you know, all this digitalizing and data collection and data storage and, you know, AI solutions and et cetera. uses so much energy. So they basically, if you want to get to a 10-star, so, you know, back to that, if you want a 10-star home, you basically don't use very much energy in your home. Yeah, hardly any heating and cooling, because the energy's got to be used elsewhere to surveil us and get us into... Yeah, and then there, and it does say in the renewables, because everything's going to be electrified and then be through renewables, we have to do energy loading and we have to change our habits with how we use electricity. So you've got to just store it in your battery and then just use it at particular times. So there's all this energy loading usage of electricity because it's obviously not going to be intermittent and we're not going to have a regular energy flow. And they make that quite clear as well. So all these kickbacks that are going to the renewable energy companies and we the people are going to have to pay for it again, yet again, because they say the way to get past that is to have a more energy efficient house. So you upgrade and then it doesn't matter that your energy is much more faulty.
It's fascistic too, isn't it, because of the involvement of all these corporations, private companies, everything's outsourced. It's this sort of merging of it all together into this big blob is what it feels like. And that's fascism, isn't it, in the end?
It is. It is. And because they've got the impact market so and the ESG scoring, it means that we will get caught in this and companies will have to do different things to get a good ESG scoring. And you've got the impact markets being created. So they're actually funneling capital from the billionaire class through to do all these impact stuff and that they get the infrastructure and then they get all the web is paying them to, you know, supply us with services basically. As it said, you know, our capacity to own things will become limited and it's more about being able to have access to services. So it's complex, but people, to understand the impact markets, and I need to understand it more to be able to break it down to talk to people. But this is a global arena. You've got the Global Impact Investment Network from the UN, you know, partnership with the UN, and it's a way of just completely funding agendas and putting huge amounts of capital through. And our government's partnering with all of this.
I hope it's all about the money, because if it's not all about the money, it's something even worse than that. So, yeah. All right, Kate, thanks for coming back on. Good to know what's happening. Clear eyes and all of that. All right.
Forewarned is, you know, forearmed. They're doing it. I think it's better to know. And then we can sort of put your thinking caps on a bit more.
Yeah. And as you know more, let's talk some more.
Okay.
The RCR shop has great gift ideas, from great looking tees, hoodies, caps, tote bags, bumper stickers and more. The RCR shop is now open at www.realitycheck.radio/shop.